Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of the OFCCP Compliance Podcast presented by Circa. Yes, our first version of the podcast under our new brand of Circa. Of course, you may remember us as Local Job Network. And if you did like us back then as LJN, we are still the same great place. And if for some reason you weren't fans of us, guess what? We're even better now, so you can enjoy everything we have to offer. Either way, I am still Tim Muma, your host for the OFCCP Compliance Podcast. And here we try to give you a deeper look at what is really going on around OFCCP. And joining me once again is Bill Ostendorf, founder and president of HR Analytical Services. Bill, it's been a little while. How goes things?
Tim, things are great. We are all excited about the OCCP things that are going on. It's always an adventure and a fun thing to be dealing with or something like that. I don't know, Tim. So, Tim, congratulations on all the excitement for your new organization. It sounds like lots of things going on there, lots of different kinds of programs and things that you're doing. And saw your kickoff webinar. It was a very interesting day for you. So hope that all is going very well.
Yeah, definitely a ton of work, and a shout out to everyone at Circa for all the work they put in, marketing team and otherwise. It's been fun. It's been interesting. Definitely a lot of work, but everything seems to be running pretty smoothly, and appreciate everyone who has been sort of supportive of that and kind of taking this journey with us. So we'll see where it leads, but definitely some positive changes here at Circa, formerly known as Local Job Network. Speaking of things changing, or maybe not so much, it hasn't been quite as hectic around OFCCP lately, at least as much as it was early in the year. But of course, we always have some things that we want to touch on. And one of the big areas that many people continue to ask about and wonder, how this is all going is the focused reviews. So let's go ahead and start with the Section 503 focus reviews first. Those have been ongoing for some time now. So, Bill, what are the things you've heard, whether it be about processes, the results of these reviews, or anything else you found interesting from the Section 503 focus reviews in particular?
So the Section 503 reviews really are well underway, and we're getting some sense of how those are going. For those of you who don't deal with all our happy-go-lucky acronyms all the time, Section 503 is the affirmative action law that deals with disability. So what we're really referring to is the focused reviews that are really looking specifically at issues concerning individuals with disabilities. And there have been some specific things that we've seen that have grown out of those reviews. One of them is that there certainly has been a specific focus on reasonable accommodation, that the agency very typically during the course of these reviews is wanting to know what kind of accommodations are organizations making, how do they specifically handle accommodations, do they have a process in place to handle accommodations, when accommodations are made, is there some consistency in how accommodations are approached between employees and different kinds of conditions? So that's something that people really want to focus on here in terms of if they're potentially still going to have a Section 503 focus review, think about that accommodation question. There's also no doubt that OCCP is interested in outreach. You know, they're looking very much at those questions about what specific outreach efforts did organizations make. And in this context, that really does mean more than just posting some things on websites and sending some things off to people to say we have this opening. It really does mean that the process of developing relationships and finding places that are really going to be good partners that can provide individuals with disabilities. I think one of the interesting things, Tim, is that we've seen some serious questions about how are people developing personal processes to look at issues concerning disability.
Okay.
And that was something we thought might happen, but it wasn't clear how OCCP would do that and what they'd go into. What we're really seeing is that OCCP isn't always giving us a clear set of guidelines as to the specifics they're going to look at, but they want to hear from companies about things they've done to look at their processes. And so that might include something like, is your website accessible to individuals with disabilities? Mm-hmm. Or are you doing things internally to make sure that your policies are available to individuals with disabilities, both through whatever online means you have and through being able to contact specific people in the organization? You know, are you doing things to make sure your building is accessible? just general things like that to show that there's some thinking about how do we make this a good working place for individuals with disabilities. Here's what we really haven't learned a lot about. We haven't seen a lot of outgrowth yet in terms of conciliation agreements or other final documents concerning a lot of these reviews. So we're not seeing OCCP come out and say, this is generally the worst problem that we've found, and we want you to take some kind of action based on that. Instead, what we're basically seeing is some of these things routinely asked about during reviews, and then most of these reviews are closing. They're not necessarily closing quickly, but they're closing a lot of them with a letter saying that your practices are acceptable and we'll move on. But we'll see as the rest of these reviews close up. It is not unusual for OCCP to take the most time with organizations where there seem to be problems. So we may get to the end of this process, and there may be some kind of discrimination complaints that come out of this, and we may see some very strong pronouncements by OCCP before we're all done with these reviews.
Now, have you gotten a sense at all in any of your conversations or what you've heard with these reviews? Is OCCP talking to multiple people within the organization, like different levels of the organization, like say just your typical manager who's overseeing somebody who might have a disability? Are they going that deep with it, or are you not really getting a sense of how much they're doing that way?
No, that's a really good question. And one of the things that's been a common part of all these reviews, and it was supposed to be a common part of these reviews, has been employee interviews. So what we are seeing is that OCCP, in some ways, has made this a throwback to what we used to see 15 years ago, because there is typically some kind of opening conference where the head of the facility where the review is going on is invited to listen to what OCCP has found in a preliminary way. There is some questions. There are some questions that go back and forth with the head of the facility potentially about what does that person know about these laws concerning individuals with disabilities. There is commonly discussion with the HR representatives. What have they done to make sure that these laws and the way they're being implemented is getting in front of managers and employees? What kind of policies are there? What kind of records are being kept? Things along those lines that would be in the HR area. We are seeing pretty commonly a certain number of manager interviews that go on. So not the HR people, but actual line managers who are being asked questions about what do you know about the company's obligation to make sure that you're doing something for individuals with disabilities, and what are you doing to make sure that accommodation can be made available? And, what are you doing to make sure that this is a good work environment for individuals with disabilities? And then on top of that, we are seeing interviews for employees and or managers who actually have a disability. And, you have typical questions there about how do you feel about the workplace? Have you ever asked for accommodation? What happened when you asked for accommodation? Is there anything that you think should happen to make the workplace more accessible for you or for other individuals with disabilities? Are you able to access some of the basic things that other employees can access, like policies or lunchrooms or equipment that you may need? Things along those lines. So, the OCCP had said at one point that they expected that the interview process, the on-site process of the Section 503 reviews could last up to 5 days. We are not seeing a lot of that. Between the fact that OCCP can't come on site and the fact that they really are getting their interviews done in a pretty orderly way, we're seeing, maybe 1 or 2 days of interviews happening. But we're certainly seeing that those interviews going on where there is direct interaction between OCCP and people working at the company.
And I do like that. I like hearing that because as much as it might be in some cases a pain for the employers to have to worry about connecting OCCP with all these individuals, and maybe they're worried about what they're going to say, I think to your point, especially if it is employees who are working with a disability, really getting their perspective on it, because in the end, that's who we're trying to help. That's who they're trying to make sure are being accounted for in these ways. So I think that's great that they are going to that level and not just the upper reaches of management. Well, I guess that quickly brings us over to the VEVRA focus reviews, of course, related to veteran hiring and outreach. A lot of similarities there can be between these two, but of course, some differences. These supposedly are just getting underway. We'd heard about them sending out the scheduling letters in the not too recent past. Any news that you've gotten on that front at all?
There really isn't a lot of news there. You know, the interesting thing is that we've heard for the last month, OVCCP through a variety of its leaders say, oh yeah, we're revving this up. This is really going. We're going to see a lot of these reviews starting up and taking place. I can't say that I personally am aware of any that have specifically opened. I do suspect that some of them have started.
Sure.
But there are supposed to be 500 of these reviews that are focused on what's happening for protected veterans. And I really can't tell you how many are open currently. There are lots of open Section 503 focused reviews. We don't know. We don't know how many opened reviews there are for the veteran focused reviews. You know, it's something that OCCP, they certainly want to get through some of these this year. You know, they've committed to move these along. And so we think that OCCP is going to want to get these going, to get at least a few of them completed before the end of their fiscal year, which, you know, which is coming up soon, by the way. Their fiscal year ends on September 30th.
Which is also coinciding with supposedly another CSAL being announced by that time, right?
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of talk about you know, these corporate scheduling announcement lists. The last one came out in March of 19. There was the veteran supplement that came out in November of 19. I'm going to take a wild stab in the dark here and say we are not going to see one yet this year.
Okay.
The OCCP, they're not done. They're not done with the original list from March of 19. They're certainly not done with the list, the veterans list that came out that had 500 facilities in November of 19. So you can never really tell. You know, there's some unpredictable things that happen, but I don't think we're going to see another list anytime soon. Now, maybe, you know, before the end of the year, but I think it's much more likely going to be next year before we see it, because I think this agency is going to want to close up the list that it currently has,
right,
before it gets started on something new. If we go back to the you know, veterans focused reviews for a second, mm-hmm. One of the reasons I'm not sure how rapidly these are going forward is that, unlike the Section 503, the disability focused reviews, where OCCP has very much built out its website to provide some very useful information about how these reviews are going to work and how the onsite's going to go and what you should expect and what kind of questions you're going to get. In the veterans focused review part of their website, they certainly have some interesting stuff. They have some interesting FAQs. They have a copy of the letter you get to start a review, but they don't have the kind of resources they have for the Section 503 focus reviews. So I think that kind of sends a signal that says we're not going forward as fast with this. We haven't quite figured out where we're going with all this. You know, we're not quite as ready to do the on-site. And that conforms to something important. I mean, you know, Tim, you've seen this, you know, for 4 years now. You know, there's a real commitment to really implementing the affirmative action law for individuals with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Lean's all about that.
Right.
There's been less focus on veterans issues, and I think that's sort of showing up here, that there's not as many resources they've made available. They're not pushing this forward as aggressively. So I don't know how fast those reviews are going to go forward. I think it's always good to keep a watch on OCCP's website. But I think that the continued focus here is going to be much more on, getting those Section 503 reviews finished, getting the other traditional reviews from March of 19 they were supposed to be starting up finished. And then I think they're going to reorient to the focus reviews on veterans.
Right.
That's kind of a guess. And Tim, you know that I guess wrong about 90% of the time. So
No, you're pretty in tune usually with the kind of the patterns and then what's happened in the past, the trends of the timing of everything. So I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. Of course, on the flip side, as you also mentioned, you just never really know what's going to go through and what's going to be held off for now. But no, I think you do make some good points as far as the focus specifically on disability a little bit greater than that on the veterans, not to say that it's being ignored, but just a different timetable and a different level of priority there that we've seen in general. But yeah, we'll definitely keep monitoring that and seeing what kind of news comes out on either of those reviews as we go forward here into the year. Speaking of that, OFCCP has been discussing, pushing out some initiatives that they're hoping that will be a part of the future, I guess I would put that way. Bill, I guess if you want to fill in the listeners on what you see or a couple of the key items that are being discussed, and really if you do see them being a part of the future in terms of OFCCP and what their initiatives are.
Well, Tim, I'm going to give you a couple of things OCCP is talking about doing in the future, but I'm going to let you guess. What am I likely to say about whether these things are going to go forward aggressively?
I'm going to say that they will not happen, particularly as we're approaching election time and the many changes that could happen within the next 6 to 12 months. That's what I would say.
Tim, this is why I'm proud. I wish we were in the same room. As most of you may know, Tim and I are still sitting at our respective places. I'm still here at my home, looking out my dining room window and looking at the beautiful sunshine today. Tim, I think, is actually at his office where he's cooped up in whatever small cubby hole
there's padded
in.
Wall. But, wherever I am, there's
yeah,
padded.
Yeah.
Whether they're soundproofing or padded walls, I'm not going to.
That always makes me sad because it's much more fun when Tim and I can be in the same room and throw things at each other. But whether we're apart or together, Tim is always probably the smarter one in the room because he knows exactly where I go with some of these things, and you have hit it on the head. I'm going to tell you about some things that OCCP is talking about, but we can start with the caveat that these are not going to happen soon, if at all. So we'll see. A couple of things OCCP has talked about a lot. They have said that they're going to have two additional kinds of focus reviews. One would focus on promotions. Another would focus on accommodation. And let's start with the accommodation one, because that was interesting, because the discussion was they would focus both on accommodation for disability and accommodation for religious practices. I'll be honest, I'm not quite sure why we're doing focus reviews for accommodation in light of the fact that that's a big, big piece of the current Section 503 focus reviews.
Sure.
But it's one of those things that OCCP is talking about doing. The promotions one is more interesting because this is something that OCCP has not focused on over the years. And yet it really is something important that OCCP should look at more. So in terms of, is this something that I think that they've missed over the years that they should be giving more attention to? If you think about it, promotions and hires, what's the difference? Well, they're both forms of selection. The only real difference is that we're looking at external people versus internal people.
Right.
So maybe it is time to look more at promotions. But, with that being said, this particular OCCP administration, Tim hit on the head, they have, they're currently going to be around in terms of this leadership group. They're in theory going to be around till January. If President Trump is reelected, they may be carried over, but they may not. If President Biden is elected, then chances that they're carried over is about zero. And whoever a President Joe Biden would bring in would have some new initiatives for the agency. So I don't see a lot of this new kind of stuff, doing, promotion-focused reviews or focus reviews based on accommodation going forward very quickly. Even though, the promotion piece is something that the agency should look at. So I guess, we'll see what happens. OCCP, again, they've been known to prove us wrong over the years, but it's going to be very difficult for them to put something very new in place at a time that really this administration is quickly coming to a close. That it's very unusual for lots of new things to happen in August, September, October of an election year. And I think just for that reason, we're not likely to see a whole lot of new things. And especially, don't forget, OCCP has a lot of current reviews going on that they got to get closed and that they have to move forward. So a lot of new things, I don't necessarily see that. There's some other things OCCP wants to do. They certainly want to have more companies getting involved in functional affirmative action agreements. They want to spend some additional time focusing on issues concerning sexual orientation, gender identity. All of those are, I think, are positive things the agency can and should do. But again, it just adds a lot more to the plate of an agency that has a very full plate and has things that needs to accomplish here before the end of the year. So we'll see. I think, for all of you out there, as you look to the future, and as to what OCCP may do, these are ideas that may come up in the future. So you want to start to think about how this will affect you. It just probably won't affect you in the next, month or two.
And the promotion side of it that you've talked about that for, I mean, at least the past year of that sort of being the next big thing, and something that is important because you do look at that as being a little bit neglected, if you will, in terms of the discrimination side or selection, as you said. So I am curious what exactly they'll have in store for that, but to your point, it's likely not happening soon.
Yeah, I think you've, again, you've hit that.
I just
this
listen to
is
you and then I spit
important.
out what you said in a different way. That's all I do.
But Tim, I mean, you said it much more effectively than I did. So I think, I'm just going to get off this podcast and let you finish because you have much more valuable insights than I do.
Well, we
So
can't do
anyway,
that.
all
We can't
right.
do
So
that.
that's what we know about that. I know. We need the two of us to talk during this podcast because, otherwise, one of us alone gets kind of boring, especially when you have to say, Tim, what do you think? Oh, here's what I think, I don't know. It's sort of fun for a while, but eventually, you need the other voice.
This is where I wish I had like a soundboard where I could play the Will Smith song "Just the Two of Us" because I feel it'd be very apropos for this conversation and where it's gone. And before it gets a little too creepy and weird, and before we run out of time, I do want to get to one more thing. You were talking about possible changes at administration, of course, and this was something that we thought was going to happen, back in February. It seemed like it was going to happen quickly, and that was the idea that Craig Lean would be leaving for a spot in the White House, specifically as Inspector General at the Office of Personnel Management. We're obviously well beyond February, and to your point, once again, we're approaching election time. What happened here? Why did this not take? Why did Lean end up staying? Do you have any insight into what happened or what could happen?
This is all, we're back to it's a matter, going to be a matter of speculation because nobody knows exactly what's happening here. There had been some rumbling that Lean was going to be confirmed about a month ago. That obviously did not take place. There is some rumbling currently that Lean will be confirmed at the end of September. We don't know if that's going to be the case. I guess, here's a good way to look at this. I don't know if he will be confirmed before the end of the year, but it's growing to be more and more unlikely all the time. Again, with the end of an administration, you generally don't see a lot of action taken on something like people being put into new roles. I think that an important piece of this is that, the Senate, which has to actually take this formal confirmation vote, is busy. They're trying to figure out the coronavirus pieces, and they're trying to get out, frankly, and campaign for their seats, and they're trying to put in place a whole series of other bills that, may affect the nation as a whole. And if they're going to work on nominations, my guess is that they're going to continue to work on nominations to judicial posts, and not nominations to other things like inspector general
Right.
roles. So could Craig Lean still get confirmed to be inspector general? It could happen. But boy, it doesn't seem very likely. I mean, if it was going to happen, it really needed to happen, last month, a month or two ago. He's really just one step away from being confirmed. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen. It just means he's one step away. And so for those of you who are either, happily or unhappily waiting for Craig to leave the agency, I think, for the moment, you're going to have to look at it this way. He's going to be there for a while. And I wouldn't spend your time worrying about, whether he's going to be going. I think just as critically, the things he's put in place, his basic ideas, his foundational pillars, they're going to stay in place
Right.
for at least the time through, the transition to either a new president or a second term. Craig Lean, I think, will be there probably through the end of this administration. His ideas will be there with us for a while, whether he personally is there or not. So that's kind of where that stands.
Yeah, no, it definitely
Tim,
makes a lot of sense.
I hate, well, and I hate to do this to you, but before we go today, and I don't want to keep, our listener, or our listeners. I understood that now we have like three people who listen to this podcast, so
No comment. No
I'm
comment.
so excited. Okay, right. I just wanted to be able to send like the expensive fruit basket out to our three listeners, because it just it warms my heart. A quick thing. I hadn't mentioned it to Tim earlier that we should discuss this, and it will take just a moment. But those of you who are federal contractors and subcontractors, at the end of September, you need to get your VETS 4212 report filed. That is due at the end of September. That has not changed. We talked recently about the EEO-1 report and the fact that that won't be due until sometime in the first quarter of 2021. The VETS 4212 report, however, does have a deadline this year, and that's something that you should turn in if you're a federal contractor or contractor covered by the Veterans Affirmative Action laws. So get to work on that. It's an interesting, fun report. You'll, I'm sure, enjoy your time putting that together and working on that. And if you need more information about that, feel free to send me a note, and I'll put it into my file of things to get to right before the end of September. No, I'm just kidding. I'll be happy to respond to anyone who sends me a note.
No, and
Any
I
of the three of you on the podcast.
all three of you. No, I think that's a great addition to close out this episode, as you said, with the timing of it and making sure everybody knows that that is still the requirement. So I appreciate you bringing that up. And with that, we are going to wrap things up. I do, of course, want to thank once again Bill Ostrandorf, President and Founder of HR Analytical Services. Bill, it's always a pleasure, man.
Yeah, Tim, it's great to talk to you. It's really a pleasure to do this. And again, congratulations on all the things that are going on at Circa, and hope that that continues to be a real success.
Thank you. Definitely appreciate that. And for everyone here at Circa, we'll close things out here on the OFCCP Compliance Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Tim Muma, and we will talk to you next time.